So we're going to be talking about the Good Samaritan. And a lot of times when you talk about these parables, and especially what we would call children's stories, or let me date myself, felt board stories. Y'all that old? You remember the felt board things? They used to slam on the little felt board and had little pictures and everything. Usually somebody says, well, Brother so-and-so in 1958 preached the best sermon I ever heard on the Good Samaritan. And a lot of people say, well, I've heard so many sermons on the Good Samaritan. Actually, we don't. But I've preached this about 3 or 4 weeks ago and at another church. And a lot of times, I don't know what y'all think, but a lot of times we get behind these pulpits and you think we have all the answers. And a lot of times I'm preaching to me more than anybody. And so I'm preaching to me and you tonight. And I've entitled this sermon about 15 different titles, but I'm going to give you two of them. Do you have a neighbor? Y'all remember Mr. Rogers? Won't you be my neighbor? My question is, do you have a neighbor? And you'll understand that at the end of the sermon or at the end of the story. But the other question I wanted to ask you, when is enough enough? When is enough enough to win people for the Lord? And I don't think this passage directly deals with that, but because Jesus is answering the question that he was asked by a lawyer, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And remember, Jesus was not only asked that question then, he was asked the question by the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes to him and says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, 99.75% of our churches, if somebody came and asked that question, we'd give them the plan of salvation. We might go through the Roman road. We'd pray with them and they would be baptized. But Jesus doesn't do that. Matter of fact, he confronts them with the thing that we think is obscure, and we don't want to use it nowadays. One famous pastor says we don't need to go back to the Old Testament, but it's interesting that when Jesus answers that question, he always points to what? The law. Because as the book of Romans says, it's a principle. It is the schoolmaster. It tells us what's right and what's wrong. And it does one thing, and that is convict us that we are sinners. And I use that phrase so much, and you use that phrase so much, but I still am convinced in the past couple of days that I don't realize what that means to be a sinner. If you look at Paul's steps through the Bible, he called himself an apostle. He called himself a servant of God. And by the time his ministry ended, he said, I am the chief of sinners. There's something, if you read biographies of people who walk with the Lord, the closer they get to the Lord, the more sinful they see themselves being. If you have a lot of pride, get closer with the Lord. Because humility is a good place to be. Now with the passage. Luke chapter 10, verse, we're going to start in 25. The actual parable doesn't start till verse 30. But I want to set this all up. In verse 25, and a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law, and how does it read to you? And he answered and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19. And if you're familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 6, it is called the Shema. And when they walked around with the phylacteries, the boxes on their head or on their sleeve, and they had a copy of the Shema in it. And in verse 28, and he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Remember, the same question was asked to the rich young ruler, and Jesus says, go and sell all your possessions. So do this and you will live. Here's the point. I can't love Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my being, because I'm an enemy of God, is what the book of Romans says. I suppress the truth of God. I hate God in my spiritual, in my non-spiritual fleshly vessel before Jesus Christ, and the war wages on that I need to mortify the flesh. I hate God. Why would I love him with every bit of my being? So he answers correctly on the Sunday school level, but really he's not being honest. Because you can't love the Lord your God. Jesus says, yeah, you answer correctly, go and do it. So trying to remember, the whole thing is to test Jesus. And then he asked this question. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, I don't know if you knew, but we had a big, huge soccer tournament in the United States. I know people don't like soccer, but I love it. And it was called the World Cup. And it has been interesting. I have been diving into social media because all these Europeans and everywhere, they had this, they talked about, they had this vision of what America was, what they were told about America. And it was totally opposite. You know, it was hilarious to watch people eat fried green tomatoes with some ranch dressing. Anyway, I'm hungry. And one of the things they noticed and loved about America are porches. They said, like, we don't have porches in Europe. If you remember looking at English houses, there's no porch. It's flat. But you realize that in the past 60 years, the porches have gone from the front porch to we have now a back porch with a 6-foot privacy fence around them. I remember when I grew up, everybody sat on the porch and you watched the kids play until the streetlights came on. And then we would throw rocks up in the streetlight and watch the bats come down and try to scoop up the rocks. Sorry. That's what we did. He's asked the question, who is my neighbor? You remember Jesus summed this all up and he said the greatest commandments is this right here, what the lawyer quoted to him. He said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord God with all your mind, soul, being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that sums up the commandments. That is a new commandment. That is the greatest of the commandments. So who is our neighbor? And pastorally, I've always said everybody you come in contact, because I believe God's sovereign and he puts people in your way and puts people in your circumstances for you to minister to or for them to minister to you. A friend was talking to me just a while ago, and he was talking about, he read a guy that was talking about how pastors complain about folks in their church. And he said, but we will go to the next restaurant and complain when the waitress doesn't get our order right. He's like, who's the hypocrite now? So Jesus begins this parable, these stories that teach. We don't know if it happened. Probably not. It's probably a fictitious story. You could probably call it a fable. To teach a lesson. And Jesus writes in it says, Jesus replied in verse 30. Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will pay to you. So let's just stop right there, because we're going to get to the question when Jesus asked this lawyer who it is. So Jesus begins this story about a man getting beat up. And he's left for half dead. The first 2 people that see him are religious people. You have a priest and you have a Levite. Which, if you're familiar with your Hebrew tribes, the Levite tribe was the priestly tribe. And he says, they came and they both passed on the other side. Here's my first point. It is not enough to see the need. They saw him by chance. Do we really believe in chance? I mean, I know it's a story, but Jesus has a point in telling the story. Look, everything that happens to you happens by either God allowing it or God ordaining it to happen to you, because I believe he's that sovereign. Can he heal you? Yes. Can he allow sickness to happen to your family? Yes. Can he allow sickness to happen to you? Yes. Can he heal cancer? Yes. Can he do anything? Yes, because he's God. He says this guy was left dead and the Levite passed him on the other side. And the priest passed on the other side. It is not enough to see the need. Why didn't they go? Well, it depends on what commentator you read, but I agree with this one. Because they didn't want to be unclean. See, an unclean person can't make somebody clean, and a clean person can't make somebody unclean unless they're priests and they do the sacrifices that cause them to be cleaned again. But here, they go on the other side. Do you realize that if you were a leper, you had to walk 50 paces behind everyone and you had to scream, I am a leper, I am a leper, I am a leper. One of the stories where Jesus heals the leper, the guy says, Jesus, will you heal me? You know what Jesus does? Goes to him. He breaks the 50 pace rule and goes to him and heals him. Maybe we just see the need, which is not enough as church members today, because we want to remain clean. We don't want to be unclean. Church, can I remind you, Jesus ate with sinners and prostitutes. Now, I'm not telling you to go get a hooker or go get a prostitute. I'm talking about there's people in your realm that you know don't live a godly life. They're going to hell, and God has put them by chance in your life. You know they need Jesus. You see they need Jesus. You see the need. But something maybe it's bad teaching, or maybe it's just the way we think, or maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe we've read the wrong book or interpret the wrong scripture, but I must remain righteous. And we lose ministry. We lose the sight of ministry. We lose the sight that people are going to hell. They didn't want to be unclean, so they walked on the other side. Then let's go on and see what else happens. But a Samaritan, let me just stop there. If you don't know about a Samaritan, they were half-breeds. They were either Jews that bred with some other group, and the Jews hated them, and it was absolutely horrendous. And Jesus puts this in the story to give them the greatest slap in the face that you have ever seen. It was so bad that if you went north, south, or east, west, Samaritan was kind of in the middle. They would walk all the way around Samaria to get to where they were going. Let me just tell you how myopic sometimes we are, how one-sided we really are. In the South, our racial problems are usually black against white. So about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, we went on a 5,300 mile trip to Idaho. It was wonderful. And I had to look this up because somewhere we stopped to use the bathroom. Ladies. Anyway. In Montana, on the Crow Reservation. Now, it didn't say Crow Reservation. Don't stop here. It was a gas station. They needed to use the bathroom. Let's pull in. So they pull. We pulled in. And gas station, of course, you got to get something to eat. Because my rule is, if you use the bathroom, you got to buy something. So we're there in there buying something. And I'm sitting by our new rented Suburban, which I really do love. And I'm just propped up against it. And I see an old Indian guy. Let me stop right there. Do you realize on the books of South Dakota, the state of South Dakota right now, if there are three Indians on a bridge, you can shoot them? That's funny. I'm sorry. That's hilarious, but it's kind of crazy, but it's hilarious. So I'm sitting on my car, and I'm just waiting for the girls to come, and I see this old Indian guy and his wife, and they start walking my way, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And, of course, he wants a ride, but we're 5,300 miles away. I have me and Julie and the kids, and we're packed to the gills in this big Suburban. I mean, there's nowhere to breathe, nowhere to move, and I'm like, man, I am so sorry. I don't have any place to put you. To give you a ride. He's like, okay. And he's like, well, where are you from? I said, Alabama. He's like, well, my name's George Running Bear. I'm not making that up. I'm serious. And this is my wife, Sylvia Lightfoot. I'm Crow, but she's Cheyenne. I'm like, I don't know the difference. Sorry. And we started talking about Alabama, and he's like, you know, weather and da 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 da. And he goes, can I ask you a question? I was like, you've already asked a lot of them, but go ahead. Why do you talk to me? I said, excuse me? He said, white men don't talk to us. They don't talk to Indians here. I was like, well, I love Jesus, and he told me to talk to everybody. Listen to what he said. He said, I knew you were a God. Now, the terminology's not right. I would think he would say, no, you're a man of God. And he's like, thank you for talking to us. See, it's just not about black and white. It can be about Indians. But this was about Samaritans. And he's put this guy in here who helps everybody, or helps this guy that's beaten half to death. He said, but a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. So he saw the need, but let me tell you, it doesn't do us enough to see the need, but secondly, it doesn't do us enough to see the need or have compassion. It doesn't do us any good to know there's a need and to cry about it. I felt that in my heart. I mean, you could play the right song and people could cry. And don't get me wrong, because sometimes I think, I'm going to say it, our church, we forget emotions in our worship. But sometimes people are so overwhelmed with emotions that they forget what we're called to do. He says, but a Samaritan saw him and felt compassion upon him. Sally Struthers made a lot of money for those African starving children in those commercials that she did in the 80s and 90s because they ripped and gripped our hearts. You know, for a cup of coffee, this little child can eat for 5 days. Made millions. Because it gripped our heart. Now it's the SPCA commercials. We see the little puppy out in the freezing rain. Please donate to the ASPCA. It grips our heart. And that's good. God needs to grip our hearts. God needs us to see the need for people to know they need Jesus, and he needs us to see it in our hearts. But it's not enough. It's not enough for us to sit in the church and weep about people's need for Jesus Christ. Or to weep about their needs in general. He goes on to say, and this is one that kind of hit me when I preached this the first time. Look what he says in verse 34. And came to him. Pastor for some 15 years right here. And I looked at this and I went, ouch. How many of our evangelism efforts, how many of our ministry efforts, not just evangelism, but our ministry efforts, do we say, you come here? We don't go there. You come here. He came to him. He came to him. Folks, we have this mentality. And first of all, let me just say this. We have this mentality that the worship service is where people should get saved. First of all, if we call it a worship service, lost people can't worship because they don't know Jesus. Worship and praise truly comes from those who know Jesus Christ. But let me step aside, and you're going to think I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth. Listen to this. You go to them. Do you realize 87% of lost folks, 87% of lost folks said if they are invited to church, they will come. 87%. If you hit 300 in baseball, 30%, you're a Hall of Famer. 87% of folks says we will go to church if we're invited. He came to him. See, we have to see the need. We have to have compassion. And we have to act upon it. He came to him, and I put this word, act upon it sacrificially. Because the Bible says, and he came to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put on his beast, I mean he walked, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will pay to you. When I return, I will repay you. 2 denarii. Depends, again, which commentary, but the least of these, the least amount of these says that would have paid for 2 weeks for him to stay in this inn. 2 weeks. See, we have to have compassion. We have to see the need, and we have to act upon it sacrificially. It is going to cost you something to win people for the Lord. It is going to cost you something to disciple people. It might pull you away from your favorite TV show. It might pull you away from doing what you would like to do. It might pull you away from maybe getting off your beast and walking. I will repay you. Which of these three, Jesus asked, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And Jesus said, the lawyer, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said, go and do the same. Mercy is not getting something we do deserve. We deserve hell, but thank God of his mercy and his favor, which is grace, we don't have hell. We are children of God. I love C.C. Winans. I love that song, Come Jesus Come. I listen to it probably once or three, four times a week while I'm riding in my car. But the other day I was convicted and Jesus said, you realize if I come, there's a lot of folks going to hell. Come Jesus come. Get us out of this mess. Please, before the next presidential election, because we don't need a Democrat. Or before the next governor election. Hurry up and come. Hurry up and come. Our kids are going crazy. Hurry up and come, whatever the place may be. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, if I'm not mistaken, that Jesus will come when every person on the face of the earth has heard the gospel. You know, 15 years ago, we'd say, how is that possible? But right now, all you got to do is beam it, and Elon Musk with his little Starlink can hook up anywhere in any place in the face of the earth, and bam, there's the message. The one who showed mercy is the neighbor. Not do you want to be my neighbor, but do you have a neighbor? Are you being a neighbor? And again, I was convicted. I know my neighbors. I know the one lives on the left, my next door neighbors. I know the one lives on the right. Miss Dot lives on the right. And I got a lawyer guy, and I'm not going to tell his name because he don't like me. I like him. I don't know why he don't like me. Lives on the left. I know my neighbor, but am I a neighbor? And it's just not the person that lives on the right side or the left side or in front of me. It is whoever God puts you in contact with to show mercy to. Now think about that one. Who has God placed you in your way to show mercy to? Many years ago, or a couple of years ago, when I would go out to eat, I would ask the waitress, hey, we're going to have our blessing. Is there anything we could pray for you about? And it was amazing, some of the requests that we got. I don't have a lot of money, but one time we were down visiting Julie's parents, and I went to Publix to buy something, and there was this black man. He wasn't begging for money. He wasn't asking for money, but somewhere my spirit says, you need to give him $20, and I gave him $20, and he said, I just want to let you know, I just prayed that God would help me get home, and I needed $20 for a taxi. Mercy. God's mercy. Is it enough? When will you do enough? When will you feel the greatest commandment? And that is to love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and being, to love your neighbor as yourself. But wait, Corey, doesn't the scripture say, don't cast your pearls before swine? That's why I think one of the biggest problems in the Church of America today is the lack of discernment. There are people out there that don't want to hear you, will never hear you, don't want to know the gospel, are enemies of the gospel. But somehow I think we give up too easy on those folks. Because I've seen too many of them get saved. Really have. I've heard too many stories of their testimony when they tell me they hated the things of God, they persecuted Christians. One of the rappers I listen to, Christian rappers I listen to, his name's Tadashi. He basically pinned the guy that came and told him about Jesus to the wall and was going to beat the mess out of him. And now he's preaching because of what that little guy told him. Don't cast your pearls before swine, Corey. See, we've got to watch ourselves. We've got to be clean. I'm going to steal this one from John Piper. You know, we've got to be innocent as doves, but wise as serpents. I'm just betting God's not going to say, Corey, you casted too many pearls before the swine. You know what I think he's going to say? You are gracious to all. I don't think he's going to look at me and say, Corey, you are really wise as a serpent. I don't think he's going to look at us and go, you're really wise as a serpent because you didn't share with that guy because the way he acted. Or you didn't talk to that person because of what color they were. No, I think he's going to say, you're innocent as doves. You know, there's other passages where Jesus says the sheep are led to the slaughter. Is it enough? What are you doing to be a neighbor? Do you have a neighbor? Let's pray. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for me that you have convicted me of maybe trying to be too clean spiritually, not falling into sin, but not being around those that you hung out with. And God, I just pray that you would convict us of the need of people. You looked upon them and saw that they were sheep without a shepherd. Lord, bring workers to the harvest because the harvest is white. Let us not only see the need, but have compassion. Not only let us have compassion, but let us act upon it. And Lord, I just pray that we would go to them instead of relying them to come to us. And maybe that going to them is inviting them to church Sunday. Or maybe just lunch. I thank you for what you're doing at Grace Baptist. But Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do at Grace Baptist. Thank you for bringing the body of Christ. And I pray that we would come together knowing that you are the head and everything will be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.